Hello, it's Lisa and Pete, and on today's catch-up...
Premier Colin Barnett is bringing lions and tigers and bears, oh my, to Perth with the Open Range Zoo set to be housed in Chittering.
Speaking of which, remember the old Bullen Wildlife Park? Mm. We took your calls on all those things that used to be in Perth that are long forgotten.
Plus, the Americans don't like our Melbourne Cup culture. Well, we've got some things to say about that.
You know Lisa and Pete are on the radio weekday arvos, and you know Perth summers can be dangerous. Be prepared for bushfire season. Visit understandinsurance.com.au. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5.
Forgotten Perth.
Yeah, the really, really forgotten stuff. Like, you know... El Cabello Blanco, it's gone, but we remember it. We remember Atlantis. Hadn't thought of Bullen Wildlife Park for years.
Yeah.
What's another one like that?
That's what we're after, you know, stuff where it's going to make us go, oh, wow, yeah, far out, that was here. We've got Tony and Butler, hello.
Does everyone remember Action Park at the back of the Mirrabooka Shopping Centre?
Was there a skating rink there?
There was a skating rink there, but just behind that, there was actually a water park, theme park.
Oh.
It consisted of about three or four slides.
No.
Don't remember.
Three or four slides in one place would have been huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't all that big. Because I've been living in Perth now for about 33 years.
Yeah.
Probably not too much bigger than what Hillary's is today.
Right.
Do you remember roughly when it closed down, Tony?
Well, let me think. It must have been about 88, 89.
Oh.
Yeah, right, okay.
About that much. I think it was probably a little bit before its time because Beach Road or Alexander Drive used to be pretty well the western side before.
Other yes.
Than that, yeah. Any further west than that, it was Midland.
It'd go off now, wouldn't it? I mean,
yeah. It's funny that you say we had a lot of things that people say were a little bit before their time, which would go off now.
Hmm.
We got Troy and Yanjibup. Hello.
Yeah, g'day.
Troy, take us back.
On the corner of Fold Coast Road and Mandra Road, there used to be a little miniature village through there.
What, as in like you could walk through tiny houses and...
I do remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was like a Dutch theme.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember a windmill.
Yeah, that's one.
I do remember that.
So what would happen there? Would you have to go up to a gate, pay a few bucks to get in? Was it entry fee or would you just be able to just walk through and just rock up, park your car?
There was an entry fee and from memory, you could have a barbecue and that down there and yeah, it was pretty cool. I think from memory, if you drive past there now, there is some remnants of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Far out, a miniature village out in Hall's Head. All right.
Vaguely, but
thanks, Troy.
Sorry.
Cheers, mate. Matt and Merriwa. Hi, mate.
Hi, Matt.
How are we?
Good.
I don't remember this. What was this?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty recent, but it's probably already forgotten or people are still trying to. But
right.
The Perth Eye, the Ferris wheel in the city.
Yeah.
The Ferris wheel that didn't quite take
our attempt.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It seems to be the way with Ferris wheels. Every city that tries to have one, there's always a problem with the first incarnation of it.
All right, mate. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thanks, have a good
mate,
day.
See ya.
On you, Matt. We welcome Premier Colin Barnett. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, nice to be here.
And coming in on the day of a great announcement that we're getting an open range zoo in Chittering, which is the perfect place for it. Tell us about it. What's going to be there?
Well, the motivation is really twofold. First, I think most of us like to see animals in a natural environment.
Yes.
Particularly large animals. And secondly, zoos, including Perth Zoo, plays an important role in the breeding and conservation of rare and endangered and exotic species.
Mm-hmm.
And that's best done in an open range environment. So the site in Chittering, a couple of years ago, I asked the planning agencies to go around and try and identify some potential sites.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was one of them. It is a spectacular site. And I know, you know, we look in Perth, you look at the hills and you think, oh, they're just low hills. This site is extraordinary. It is an old farm site, so it's 700 hectares in total,
mm-hmm.
of which 280 hectares have been cleared,
wow.
which is plenty of land. It is almost mountainous, if I can say that,
right.
about the Perth Hills. It drops sheer drops down to the Avon River flowing through. The rail line runs right past it.
Right.
And it's actually in the middle of the Avon Valley National Park. So when you
Beautiful.
Stand in this site and turn around 360 degrees, you don't see any other sign of civilization, not a building, not a communications tower.
Well, that's what you want when you're pretending you're on safari.
Yeah, and it's only just over an hour from the centre of Perth
it's
and
perfect.
Half an hour from Joondalup. It is a unique, special site. So that's the site. We've picked it, and work starts now.
And how does it work? How do I mean the animals? Two by two, what happens?
Yeah, where do they come from?
Where do they come
well, they'll
from?
Come initially probably from Perth Zoo, some of the bigger ones, but also with this site, zoos have very good exchange programs and the like.
Yes.
So, for example, if we wanted to get more elephants in Perth, the current zoo really cannot cater for that.
Yeah.
So if we're going to get more big animals, which I think people love to see, the safari type animal, mm-hmm. then we need an open range location. But I think this will be fantastic for Perth people and families, but it'll be a huge tourist attraction
internationally, will.
Particularly from Asia.
Can we make requests from the animals yep. that we're going to be able to see there?
Oh, we have a sloth.
Yeah. What do you want, a possum or something, do you?
I like sloth.
There's a few of those around.
A sloth.
I'd like to see maybe a walrus or something like that,
a
you
walrus.
Know, just floating down the Avon. That'd be good.
Well, this property actually has about 20 springs on it. So there is a prospect of, and there's a dam on it, but making a water environment. So you might have hippos or whatever else.
How good would it be to have hippos?
So the first step, this will take probably 5 to 10, probably around 5 years before it'll be open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So the first stages will be just to do scoping, test the soil types, determine which animals would go there and which sequence, what breeding programs would go there.
Yeah.
So we'll do it properly. But and I'm not exaggerating. I know listeners might think I am, but this will be world class.
Yep.
And it's got the potential, and these are other people saying this, given its location, to be the best open range zoo in the world.
Well, it sounds like it would really lend to the atmosphere, the terrain that you're talking about.
And how close are we going to be able to get to the animals themselves?
Well, zoo people are a bit fussy about that. But look, I went to the Werribee Open Range Zoo a couple of years ago, which is between Melbourne and Geelong, and driven around in basically an open back sort of bus or truck, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the giraffes put their head inside. You know, it's not encouraged to go. You're not allowed to feed them. You know, this is feeding them with rangers and so on. But look, people will be able to walk through these open areas with elephants, go in vehicles. You know, it'll be fabulous.
It'll be as close as we've ever got. Yeah.
And a lot of the design, and these are some of the early issues, you don't necessarily have to have fences. You can have moats so that you don't get any sense of looking through a fence at an animal.
Mm-hmm.
All that separates you is a ditch that they can't jump over. Well, you hope they can't.
And the people of Outer Chittering are okay with the moat, are they?
We're going to take our time and we'll get the very best planners and designers and the very best people in terms of animal welfare.
Doesn't happen overnight.
No,
to happen properly.
Fantastic.
We'll
all
be conservation, but it'll work for us as well.
Well, there you go. everything you need to know about Perth's brand new open range zoo. It's going to be so exciting to see it. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us more about it, Premier.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Lisa.
America!
Yeah, concentrate on your election. Have you seen who's running? The Melbourne Cup yesterday. We all know what kind of day it is because, we do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to end up a little loose.
And can I just say, this year felt like it wasn't as loose as previous years.
But loose is fine. As long as you're loose and not a loser.
As long as you're not like pushing policemen into bushes while in a blue dress kind of
loose. Pushing anyone, really? There's no need to push anyone.
Mm.
American sports site Deadspin was at the Cup yesterday to do a story on our great race. And they did. And it was headlined, "The Melbourne Cup is decadent and depraved."
Amazing.
Apparently they were quite amazed at some of the, wheelie bin piggyback rides and that sort of thing afterwards.
Really?
Heels in hedges, perhaps the occasional vomit. But, no one hurt anyone.
No.
So it's a good day. But author Billy Haseley, wrote that based on photos from the event, the Melbourne Cup makes America's Kentucky Derby look like tea and crumpets at Buckingham Palace. Well, I take issue with that, and you just have to Google the Kentucky Derby to see how much scandal's been involved with that. It's not until you see these photos of the Melbourne Cup, Australia's most drunken and depraved horse racing event, that you can really understand just how out of hand, and I don't get this bit, the whites can get.
The whites?
What is it, written in 1875?
By the sounds of it.
He said, following the proud British tradition of getting equal parts doled up and something else up. at horse races. Mm-hmm. It is a perfect event for young and old alike to don their finest of outfits and guzzle copious amounts of alcohol. The entire state of Victoria even gets a day off from work.
And lucky them.
We do. You get a day off for Halloween. I mean, don't they? Do
that's
they just have a day off for Halloween?
You know what? You're right. That's such a good point. They get a day off for running around scaring each other.
He said there's a lot of booze, there's a lot of littering, there is a lot of smiling, there is, for whatever reason, a lot of falling slash lying on the ground. All of these factors combine create opportunities for some marvellous photography, but it said the Melbourne Cup is known as the race that stops the nation. Perhaps this is because revellers are so hungover the next day that they can't move. That doesn't make any sense because it's the next day, yeah, Billy.
But
he's also, he went on to say, he said there are 100,000 people there. And I noticed that at Flemington yesterday, 9 people were arrested. One was in relation to assault, one in relation to drug trafficking, and I guess the rest were for various offences of falling slash lying down.
Just revellers.
I think 9 people out of 100,000 on Melbourne Cup Day after a long day of, that is not too bad.
I think it's pretty good.
I think it's not too bad.
Yeah.
He said there was plenty of colour, people who had overindulged, women who had shunned their shoes and poorly executed piggyback rides.
But that's the thing though.
Like, nothing about the race.
No. When cameras are going to be there to capture things, of course they're going to capture the one person who's going to be on a wheelie bin.
Have you ever watched MTV, Billy? Start with Girls Gone Wild.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Prepare yourself for more Lisa and Pete, weekday arvos from 4. And prepare for bushfire season with a free checklist at understandinsurance.com.au.